Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
All right, I want to start with a public service announcement aimed primarily at men. While this is pre-recorded, this episode of Pirate Money Radio will air on Valentine's Day, at least on our terrestrial radio network. For those listening by podcast, check the calendar. It may be too late for you already, but if you're tuning in by radio, it is Saturday morning, February 14th, year of our Lord, 2026. Men, it's not too late. Pour your coffee into a to-go cup, head to the car. Be sure to tune in on the car radio, but this is important. Get in the car and head to your local Hallmark store or drugstore. Map it out so you can stop at a florist and maybe the jewelry store. Yes, it's Valentine's Day, a day you should have been planning for weeks in advance, but somehow it sneaks up on you. You get lulled into complacency by the start of a new year and then the Super Bowl, and boom, less than a week later, here we are. Do not panic. It's still salvageable. Make some excuse to run an errand. Don't admit you forgot. You need gas. You have to head to the hardware store. Get moving. Do something to get out there. I've endured, enjoyed many Valentine's days in my life. Let me correct that. I endured many before meeting Marnie, and I've enjoyed the love and romance ever since she came into my life. We just had her here 2 weeks ago on Pirate Money Radio, talking about life lessons we've learned together. It was a great episode. Go back, catch it in podcast form, but I couldn't imagine having a Valentine's Day show without her. And equally true, I wasn't planning on having Mike as co-host for this topic. So I want to welcome back my best friend, life partner, wife, and favorite person on planet Earth, the incomparable Marnie. Welcome, sweetheart.
Aw, thank you for having me again. I love being with you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I wanted to dedicate this show to romance. Now, I understand from a Christian perspective, yes, and maybe we'll share some of our stories and our memories, our favorite romantic movies. We might even work in a pirate theme or two. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
All right. So I will get into whether or not the Christians should celebrate Valentine's Day. I'm going to give you a note of caution, men. Now is not the time to bring that up. Oh, you know, we don't believe in celebrating Valentine's Day. Don't do that now. If you want to do that in October. Don't do when you hit February, you've got to be all in.
You're all in.
Unless you've already started on this. All right, let's start with the historical view of Valentine's Day.
It is fascinating, and you love history, so let's do it.
All right, where did it come from? It came from Saint Valentine. It's a feast day. It might have been multiple saints from that name. He was a third century martyr associated with themes of Christian love, sacrifice, and possibly defending marriage. However, the holiday's evolution, including pagan influences and modern secular commercialization, lead to varying perspectives across Christian traditions. I don't see this like Halloween, though. Halloween was started as a Christian holiday, but All Saints Eve, but that's kind of turned into scary and demonic, right?
Right, right. It's a deep history to get into here, but it definitely is demonic.
Yeah, but in Valentine's Day, there can be a light and fun.
I mean, there is some paganism in it, I think.
Well, that's true. February 14th was established as the feast of Saint Valentine by Pope Gelasius. How do you pronounce that? Gelasius. How would you say that?
Gelasius. That's what I'd say, but
in 496 AD, this is partly to supplant or Christianize the ancient Roman pagan festival of.
You try this one.
Lupercalia, held February 13th through 15th, which involved fertility rites. Oh, that doesn't sound so good.
That leans towards paganism to me.
Animal sacrifices, not good.
Not good.
And matchmaking lottery. It's 496 AD. Oh, do you want to find your match? Let's have a lottery. I don't know. That's just elements seem impure or tied to pagan gods like Faunus or Pan.
That 70s game show.
Love American? No, the dating game.
Yeah, the dating game. Yeah, sort of like that.
Or and then they had the newlywed game too.
Oh yeah, well they were already married, so newlywed. Yeah.
Yeah, on the dating game you were exploring and finding out whether or not you wanted. You got to pick from your bachelors, and then the newlywed game is how well do you know your spouse?
That's right. A lot of times they didn't know each other all that well, and it was hilarious.
It was hilarious. All right, so but this, looking back, there was actually a Roman priest martyred. Around 269 to 270 AD under Emperor Claudius II. I got that one right. Possibly for performing secret Christian marriages or aiding persecuted believers. Did you know that at one point, the early church, there were people who said, well, if you get married, then you're not dedicated enough to God.
Right.
And therefore, you just, that's a way for a religion to die off.
They were having secret marriages. I did know a little bit of that history.
Yeah. So, well, they had to. So the St. Valentine was the one performing those secret marriages. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have marriages, you don't have children. If you don't have children, your religion doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
And this isn't religion per se. This is the God told us to be fruitful and multiply. But he said do it in a marriage context, right?
At least they were trying to honor that.
Yeah. So I think we should take the good out of Valentine's Day. We do that with Easter. You know, Easter is based on Ishtar.
Yes.
And they have rabbits and eggs and, you know, it's all fertility rites, but that's not what we celebrate. We should call it what? Resurrection Sunday.
Resurrection Sunday. And as Christians and in our family, we would try to point to the meaning of Christ's resurrection and those things versus the commercialism, although we did buy a few gifts, but it was pointed at Christ.
We hid Easter eggs and found them.
We did do that.
And maybe we should
have. I'll say our partner, Russell, did that really, really well.
Yeah, he had the biggest Easter egg hunt ever.
Every year.
So I understand. I looked at loveHopeAndTruth.com. Should you celebrate Valentine's Day? They pretty much come down and say no. Don't celebrate it, and I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I want to celebrate God-created love, including human romantic love. It's Satan that perverted. Number two, love can and should be celebrated. Look at the Song of Solomon.
Right.
Number three, romantic love should be in context, and the context of marriage. Number four, setting aside a day to remember and celebrate is good if we don't get caught up in the world's ways. And number five, this also would apply to Easter, better termed Resurrection Day. There are pagan notions there, but we really can't leave out the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love how it's also brought in a kind of love, and maybe we're going to talk about this later, but a kind of love with just on a friendship level, like some of my best friends, I get to celebrate them.
Galentine's Day.
And I'm going to have a Galentine's Day with our daughter. I'm so excited. She invited me. I'm so excited.
So it is an opportunity to set aside some time and express love to those that you care about.
Yes.
But it should not be commercialized. And unfortunately, I think that's the bigger threat. I don't think it's the pagan traditions. I think the commercialization, I looked it up, 145 million Valentine's Day cards are exchanged every year. Americans spend $24 billion, and it ranks number three, according to CNBC. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, then Mother's Day, Easter, Father's Day, and Halloween. Number three holiday. That's unbelievable.
Well, I love doing the exchange. Like when we didn't have all the money that we would have liked, we would go into a grocery store, and we would pick out cards for each other and then just give it to each other in the store. And we wouldn't make the purchase. And we would do that with other gifts in the store too, you know, just as a way to celebrate.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there are ways that you can have romance without just spending enormous gobs of money. But Valentine's Day this year is expected to reach brand new spending records, according to the National Retail Foundation. Here it says, consumer spending on Valentine's Day is expected to reach $29.1 billion, according to the annual survey. That would be the highest all-time ever. And it's ranking right up there with the winter holidays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, Easter, Halloween. Actually, twice as much spending on Valentine's Day.
You don't have to spend that much money. There was times when we did a dollar movie, a dollar drink, and a dollar hot dog.
How about a kiss? Have you ever had a kiss on radio?
No.
Here's a kiss.
In fact,
there's a couple of kisses. Hershey's kiss is what I'm handing. Valentine's Day should be about chocolate. It doesn't have to be expensive, but go buy a bag of Hershey. Or how about those little conversation hearts?
Oh, I love those. I like the little messages on them. Yeah. And then you can get the Christian version, too. I love that.
So sweethearts and all that for Valentine's Day. It does not have to be an expensive holiday. Sometimes it should be, though. Occasionally it's okay to go out and splurge and buy a nice piece of jewelry. The bottom line is money is less important than relationships.
That's right. And the intention behind it. Like when you write poetry for me, which you do every year,
Every year, that is what I've given her as a Valentine's. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Valentine's present that I have locked myself into. We got married on Super Bowl weekend, and so I haven't seen a Super Bowl since then, I don't think. We've gone to a few friend parties, but it's always time to celebrate our anniversary. And then there's Valentine's Day, so I get the quadruple whammy, Christmas, anniversary, Valentine's Day, and then your birthday, boom, all right there together, scrunched into a very short period of money. All right, we're going to talk about money when we come back from the break, and we're going to talk about how it plays a role in Valentine's Day, what it should play, what it shouldn't play, and how really romance and showing love and sharing love is the most important thing that you can do. It's okay to celebrate Valentine's Day if you have the right motives. I'll be right back with Marnie after this break.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty, invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by my wife, Marnie, and we were talking about $29.1 billion being spent on Valentine's Day this year. So our portion is going to be just a little tiny bit of that.
We're a drop in the bucket.
A tiny drop in the bucket. So you've got your kisses. You might get flowers. You might get jewelry. You might get a nice card, but what you always want is a poem.
Yeah, and you started that. I didn't ask that of you or demand that of you, but you've done that every year faithfully, and I've just been in awe of how you tell me things. And I don't know, it feels so honoring and romantic, and
on
I love it.
This program, you shocked me.
I did.
And you read to me a poem that you'd written to me.
You didn't even know what to do.
I have no idea. I started to cry, I admit.
Yes, you did. And then you changed the subject really fast.
Okay, so here's the important thing that you understand, that it doesn't have to be about money on Valentine's Day. Money is a tool you use. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. It operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, Pirate Money Radio, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. All right, Marnie, let's talk Valentine's Day. Do you have any special childhood memories of Valentine's Day? I remember what it was like in the 70s. You're a little bit younger than me, but what do you remember from school?
Okay, so from school, one of my all-time favorite things to do is we had to do those little lunch sacks, the brown ones, and you got to decorate it. And I'm an artist, so I love to decorate and be crafty and all kinds of things. So that was one of the funnest things.
What were they used for? What did you put in?
You'd go to the store and buy the big box of individual little Valentine's cards.
Like with Superman and Spider-Man and Batman?
Yes.
You probably had
Star Wars, all kinds of movie
You probably theme. Had, you know, like little princesses and things on that. Mine were Batman, Superman, and Spider-Man.
Yeah, princesses, yes. Disney, a lot of Disney movies.
Yep. And then you decorate, you know, I looked, there are some first, hey, do you see that picture I just sent you?
Oh, yeah.
Those are over the top. Were your mailboxes like that?
Yes, we actually did that in a few classes, the mailbox type thing with the out of the oatmeal boxes or whatever you could find. You'd make a box and you'd make a little mail little thing, and you had a little slot and your friends would go by and put in there. Do they still do that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's been a while since our girls were young and since we did that. But the class parties were kind of amazing. You'd have cupcakes and cookies and soda. I liked that. It was a big sugar day.
Well, and of course the candy, the little conversation hearts, and who liked who, and all the things, and who were your good friends, and it was fun. I actually looked forward to it like Christmas.
Oh,
no
yeah.
Joke.
Oh, yeah. And so when you look at it, those conversation hearts, kiss me, lovebirds, love bug.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, true love, my hero, giggle. I wonder if those have changed over time because these seem a little more modern than the ones I was remembering.
I don't remember exactly what it was. And then they had bigger hearts, too. They started making those bigger conversation hearts that you could eat, and those were fantastic.
I like the ones that were white, that were wintergreen, or maybe pink, that were wintergreen flavored. Mm-hmm. They were my favorite, and I didn't like that one.
Box of chocolates. You can go through one at a time until you find the one you want.
Oh, remember those big heart-shaped boxes with the individual Russell Stovers and others? Those were delicious, but you wanted to get a caramel and not something that was ooey yuck.
Exactly.
There were some ooey yuck ones in there.
Truffly.
Yeah, and
my adult palate has changed. I don't mind those now. But
I like the caramels, and I like the nuts, and I even like the coconut ones. My sister hated the coconut ones, though. She'd take a bite of it, and I don't like this, and it's like, I'm not eating after you. Don't give it to me.
We would get the chocolate bunny from my parents almost every year, a big one.
That's Easter.
I mean, well, that's Easter, but that was Easter, but we would get a big, huge Hershey Kiss, like huge.
Oh, really?
I mean, like.
Did you shave it off? How'd you eat that?
No, and it was, for the most part, it was solid, too.
Did you gnaw on it? How'd you eat it?
I mean, we'd cut it off. We each got one, me and my sister, and that was fun.
Yeah, Valentine's Day, I have good memories from childhood. My memories in high school, which we'll talk about after the break, junior high and high school, not necessarily as much fun. As a kid, it was all fun, candy, and games. But, you know, the older you get, then it gets a little more serious and competitive and, you know, who's going to be your date on Valentine's Day? Well, for now, for the rest of eternity, my date is you, Marnie. All right, we'll cover this and more when we come back after this break.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but this is, I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not, using
really?
This. Using this. That's my MasterCard, and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by my Valentine of the last 30 years or so, and hopefully for the next 30 years or so, God willing. Marnie, you know, we're talking about Valentine's Day. It's fun and games in elementary school. I loved it. It was fun. It was like you had a day off classes and you got to decorate your mailboxes and share candy and all that. But in junior high, it got a little mean.
It was more difficult in junior high and high school.
And high school,
because your heart's really getting into it with, you know, the opposite sex.
Is this the one? Do I love? You know, in high school, this is it. This is, you know, I thank God for unanswered prayers.
Yes.
I was not best matched with the people I dated in high school. I'm glad that I'm not with them now, and they're probably extremely glad they're not with me. God's got better choices, and sometimes, you know, we hear about high school sweethearts occasionally, though.
Oh yeah. Well, there are a few that we know that got married and are, you know, have kids
and grandkids,
happy and successful today.
Yep. For me, that was not the case. It was serious. I do remember a date with my girlfriend at the time. We went to Steak and Ale. Do you remember Steak and Ale?
Yes.
It was very upscale. Around? No, I don't think so. But it was very upscale in Tulsa, and it was a big money investment for me. I don't remember the date that we had, but I do remember the food. And I
That says something.
I actually found, well, you know, and it's been a long time, but they had unbelievable. I pulled the menu up. When I went to Steak and Ale on my Valentine's Day, you could get prime rib, which was the top of the top of the top for me, the best,
$6.45. $6.45 for prime rib. Are you kidding me?
You could get a filet for $6.95. You could get steak and lobster for $8.25. And this was a good restaurant.
Yes. Can we go back to those prices?
It would be nice. Wow. I think they're out of business for a reason. You could get an Irish Jim.
Yeah, it's called inflation.
A side baked potato was 60 cents. And then it says, please ask to see our children's menu. All entrees include hot bread and salad. Can you believe that? That's inflation right there. That's inflation. We left the gold standard in 1971. Look what happened. Priced in gold, the lobster dinner was 1/25 of an ounce of gold that year. So while a lobster dinner costs 10 times as much as that today in dollar terms, the same 1/25 of an ounce is really worth about $175 today.
So it would have kept up.
Could you buy a lobster dinner for $175? Even at the most expensive restaurants I've ever eaten at, you could get a decent, I mean, that's probably two lobster dinners for that price.
Right.
So, all right, support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. Because you can't walk into Steak and Ale, number one, they don't exist, but you can't walk into a restaurant and plop down a gold coin and buy yourself dinner. But Glint allows gold holdings to be used for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold. It's stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time from the vault to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. You want to learn more? More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. And it gives you husbands a chance to maybe preserve a little wealth so that you can have a very nice Valentine's Day next year and the year after.
Well, they could give Glint as a gift, a Glint account, a little bit of gold in it.
Oh, yeah. Girls like gold for maybe in the form of jewelry, but they certainly are right.
I think they would like this, too.
All right, Marnie, to be honest, I don't really want to hear about any of your high school Valentine's dates. For me, there wasn't a really good Valentine's Day, you know, other than those as a kid with the family and everything, until you and I met.
Well, one of my best favorite Valentine's Days was when you sent me a gift basket with a Beanie Baby in it. Remember the Beanie Babies?
Yeah.
We weren't married yet. But it spoke to me. You wrote a nice letter, and it was just wonderful. Chocolates.
A Beanie Baby for Valentine's Day. Yeah. That's taking me back. You know, those things are going to be worth a fortune. We're going to put them up in the attic, and they're not worth anything. But the gold coins that were put up in the attic, those are pretty nice to find if you can open up a gold coin. All right, Marnie, we need to take another break. When we come back, I want to share our surprise wedding story. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
All right, you want to hear about a surprise wedding, a bride who didn't know she was getting married, then you need to stay tuned right after this break and you'll hear it.
Oh, hi, I'm Kevin Sorbo. And I'm here to tell you about coffee. Well, not really, but I'm going to use coffee to illustrate my point. Here we have several different coffees, each with its own unique characteristics. First, we have instant coffee. This coffee pretends to be coffee, but it's not really coffee at all. It's a fraud. Plus, it tastes terrible. I'm out. Next, we have woke coffee. Their coffee actually tastes pretty good. Until you find out that when you drink it, you have to admit that you've oppressed other coffees in the past. Insanity. I'm out. Next, we have big tech coffee. Now, these guys used to encourage folks to share with others what they thought about their coffee. But now, if you say you don't like big tech coffee, they'll take away your coffee pot. I'm out. This brings us to Patriot Mobile Coffee, right? This is one big cup of truth and freedom. There's no fraud here. Patriot Mobile is America's real Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile gives back millions of dollars every year to organizations that are on the front lines fighting for our freedoms. Patriot Mobile offers the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on the same networks as the other major carriers. So you'll get the same great coverage along with 100% U.S.-based customer support while knowing you are supporting a company that shares your conservative values. Switch to Patriot Mobile today by visiting patriotmobile.com or call 972-PATRIOT.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Where can I go that you do not invade my every waking thought? With dreams, I know I'm already lost in the rapturous delight of being with you. While awake, I face a different challenge to balance the joy and the sorrow that I feel. You remember that? Marnie, my wife, we're celebrating. We're not talking money today, although money is involved, as we just shared. We're talking Valentine's Day in celebration of romantic love. That I just quoted was the opening of a love poem I wrote for Marnie nearly three decades ago. It's become a Valentine's Day tradition ever since. I write her a poem. That first one was actually picked up and published in a poetry book, I think in 1999 or the year 2000.
It was amazing. Thank you. Yes.
I had it memorized. I quoted it from my heart, and it wasn't short. It was long.
Very long.
I memorized the entire thing. I can pick it up a little bit. I looked for the poetry book because I sent that off and said, I wonder if this is English. So there was a poetry.com. So I just uploaded it, and they sent me back that they chose to publish it.
It was that beautiful. It was amazing.
We bought the book, and I don't know where it is. Somewhere probably in the attic.
No, it's actually on a bookshelf.
Do you know where it is?
Yes.
Oh, man, I should have asked you before you got it. I would have pulled it down. All right, I memorized it. I shared it for you the very first time at our wedding, and that was just one of many surprises you were in store for that day.
Yes.
Let's back up. How did we get there that we had a surprise wedding? Because we've already established we did. You and I dated, we were engaged, and we broke our engagement to make certain we both wanted to be sure this 100% was God's
and there,
will.
There were some extenuating circumstances and some difficult circumstances that we separately had to walk through. And so that we just had to do that first.
We did. There were legitimate reasons for wanting to be sure. No
question. Did I say difficult? It was difficult.
It was difficult.
So it wasn't easy.
So we sought God for a year, and Marnie, you heard earlier.
Right. I'd been praying about this at about 6 months after we'd been broken up. I felt like the Lord laid on my heart and said that we would be married. And I was like, well, I'm not telling him, you tell him. And I also had a friend call me and say, and she knew that we had broken up, and she said, I think you are and Kevin are supposed to get married. And a third friend, all unrelated to each other, tell me that. And so it was basically God confirmed it for me. And then she asked me to go pick out a wedding dress. She wanted to go help me do that. So we actually did go pick out a wedding dress.
Which is crazy and insane, and yet I'm so grateful that you did.
When you hear God, you hear God.
It took me a little longer to hear God, I admit,
right.
And I'm sorry for that. It's not that I didn't love you, but there were circumstances that we had to work through. And I was pouting, and I couldn't figure out. I was sad all the time. What do you want from me, God? I want to know what your will is. I want to know. And I remember being at a conference in Naples, Florida, and Tom Clancy was speaking, the great author, and he is a great author. I mean, yeah. That guy was one of the biggest bestsellers of all time, and they still have Jack Ryan and
yes.
All of that from Tom Clancy. But he was speaking, and my friend came up to me and said, hey, let's go meet Tom Clancy and get his signature autograph. And I said, I don't want to meet some stupid author. Now, that was me pouting.
Yes, because you don't normally
talk like
that.
I'm not saying he's a stupid author. And so she asked, it's like, Kevin, you're pouting all the time. So who would you like to meet? And I said, you know, somebody who could help me. I'd like to meet Dr. James Dobson.
Because you were still wrestling with, do I need to be with Marnie? What are you saying, Lord?
Right. I wanted to hear God. And he's a Christian psychologist. And, you know, he's passed away recently, but he was the guy that wrote the book on love and raising family and all that. And I thought, he could help me.
That's what I love about you, though. That was what I wanted. Someone who would seek the Lord first, period. for direction in life.
You don't want to do the opposite of what God wants. It doesn't work out well.
I've been there, done that. It doesn't turn out well.
I may
usually
not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know that if you do what God wants, it works out better for you. So I wanted his advice. And we were at this big conference. There were 600 people or so there. And we've been to the conference together since then. But this one was in Naples, Florida. And in a banquet room of 600 people, my friend Martina said, "You want to meet Dobson?" Grabbed my hands and she said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, get this boy to Jim Dobson." And she threw my hands down, walked off because she was mad at me because I wouldn't go with her to meet Tom Clancy.
Because you were pouting.
I was pouting. But that night, banquet room, 600 people, assigned seating, and I had no idea. Nobody told me Dr. Dobson was at this.
He was actually at this conference.
He was at the conference, and I was seated one person away from him.
At the same table.
At the same table. One person away. And the person in between me and him was his pilot.
Yeah.
Who was going to fly him home that night. All right, so I waited to talk to him, and I got no chance. Steve Forbes walks up. "I'm running for president. Dr. Dobson, would you support me?" And they had a nice, long conversation.
He was the kingmaker of politics.
Dobson, yes. Yeah. And Steve Forbes gets up and gives this speech to 600 people. And then following that, vice president, former vice president of George H.W. Bush, Dan Quayle, walks up and says, "Dr. Dobson, I'd like to talk to you. I'm running for president. I don't care what you're doing. I want to talk to him. God put him here, and I want to talk to him."
Everybody wanted to talk to him,
but he wasn't talking to me. So after the dinner and after the speeches, dessert was being served. It was set in front of him. And he pushed the dessert into the middle of the table and said, "Thank you for having dinner with me tonight," to our whole table. "But I'm going to fly home now. You ready, Jim, to take me home?" And Jim, the pilot, said, "Sure, Dr. Dobson, I'm ready to do it." And I said, stop. "Dr. Dobson,
hold on.
God put you at this table in my life right here to answer a question. I want to know God's will on this subject." And he said, "I'm sorry, son, I don't have time. I have to go. I promised my wife I'd be home tonight." And he walked out. And at that moment, I was so disappointed. God had teased me and set me up. And I'm sitting there and I'm feeling the emotion even now. What is this, God? You expected me to interrupt the vice president and burst in? That's not how you work. You supernaturally put him here and now you're just teasing me. And I was sad and I was moping and I was pacing and I was muttering to God. I was angry with God. The only time in my life I've ever felt angry with God, I was angry. Why did you do this to me? And I turned in tears, and I saw Dr. Dobson, who had left the building.
He, all the way left, in his car driving to the airport, left.
He walked back in.
Yes.
And I said, "Why are you here?" And he said, "A darndest thing. We got out there, headed to the airport, and called in our flight plan, and they told us the airport was shut down. A fog fell."
Suddenly.
There
out
was
of nowhere.
No fog. It fell, and so they said, "We don't know if planes are getting out tonight." So I came back. I thought I'd get my room back and talk to you. What do you want to talk about? And I thought, God, you did this. So I shared the whole story. I shared everything about us.
The difficulties that we had gone through prior to us. And
how long, and he asked one question he said, "Son, how long has she waited for you to hear from God?" I said, "Well, about a year." He said, "A woman who waited for you a year so that you would hear from God?" He said, "Look, I don't know much, but I know this. If I were you, I'd marry her on the spot. That's a woman who cares about what God wants and about what's best for you." And I flew to Hong Kong. I had a bit of conference in Hong Kong. I planned a surprise wedding from Hong Kong with our friends back in Monterey, Carmel. And I called and I said, "Marnie, would you come out to California so we can pray about this? And you can work for Carmel Creamery, our ice cream store that I owned part of at the time."
Gift store. And I was actually already doing that work, but we didn't speak for almost a year.
Almost a year. We saw each other once or twice. Mm-hmm. But then I picked you up at the airport and I said, "We've got dinner at Fresh Cream Restaurant in Monterey," which is, by the way, one of the number one top-rated restaurants of the world at the time. In fact, I looked at it. They won Award of Excellence from Wine Spectator magazine 9 times in a row and 26 out of 28 points from Zagat's North California Guide. This is the expensive restaurant. I invited you there. We had all our friends. You were shocked that we had all our friends in the room, private room.
I had actually gone to buy a wedding dress and all of that. And when I told my mom, I said, "I'm leaving to California. I'm going to go see Kevin, and I'm not coming back."
So you knew.
I knew. But I didn't. But you'd never said anything.
You knew and I knew, but I didn't know you knew.
Exactly.
All right. So I proposed. I recited the poem. We had a surprise wedding. And I remember there was a Swedish woman that you met in the bathroom.
Yes. And she was like, oh, I'm so romantic. What are you doing? And I was putting on my wedding dress that you had brought there. There's so many stories behind that. But she said, oh, you're getting married tonight here? I said, yes. And she said, when did you get engaged? And I said, tonight. And she's like, oh my gosh, how well do you know this man?
Yeah, that was fun. She then went out and told the entire restaurant, and Japanese tourists from the main dining room burst in taking pictures of me. We want to meet the romantic man, and taking all these pictures of me. So there's more pictures of our wedding likely in Tokyo than there are house. So many pictures. But we had a reception at the Carmel Creamery. We went back to the restaurant, and they kept the flowers. 10 years later, they'd have the flowers.
Oh, it was almost 20 years.
Wow. So we were so young when we got married. You still look young and beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I've aged quite a bit, and my hair color has changed substantially. Yes, yours has changed.
Mine doesn't change.
By choice. All right, and Dr. Dobson followed up, sent his assistant to check up on us, and sent us a signed book as a wedding present. Wow, that segment flew by. People tell us we should make a movie of that story. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we'll talk romantic movies for Valentine's Day. I'll be right back with Marnie Freeman talking romance after this break. We'll be right back.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is going to be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I going to fill this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming. Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah?
Yeah.
How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
Quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we just told the story of our surprise wedding. Mrs. Freeman had no idea that I was going to propose and get married that night. She thought that we would get married. She didn't know what was happening that night.
I thought we would get engaged quickly because literally the Lord already told me. I wasn't some psycho nutcase like trying to follow you around and doing all that. It was prayerful. I fasted and prayed for a year. Lord, what do you want? What is this something? Anyway, he made it clear at 6 months.
You hear surprise wedding and you think, oh my gosh, that's impetuous. It was the opposite of impetuous. We dated for 3 years and waited another year to seek God. So we really knew that we knew that we knew, but we didn't share that with each other until that night, and we got married, and we've been happily married ever since.
That's right. Because we know that we know that we know.
We do.
God brought us together.
People tell us we should make a movie of that.
I think we should.
And there are a lot of Valentine's Day romantic movies. I asked Grok to list some of these. Have you seen some of these movies? These are the timeless classics that they list. Casablanca. Have you seen it?
I haven't. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
All right, we got to watch that.
Not a whole.
It's a wartime romance. It's
oh my
war
gosh, you and history
romance.
And war. Yes, yeah,
and it's Ingrid Bergman and Humphrey Bogart. So we gotta look at that. The famous line: "Here's looking at you, kid." It's the gold standard for bittersweet romance. So we gotta watch that. Gone with the Wind. Have you seen Gone with the Wind?
Bits and pieces. Again.
Bits and pieces.
So.
Okay, so we live in the South. We've got to have this epic Civil War era passion. Frankly, Scarlet, I don't give a darn. And then Roman Holiday, which is a really fun one. That one I have seen. It's Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck, and Audrey Hepburn is...
Well, who doesn't love Audrey Hepburn?
Exactly. It's a fairy tale story of a princess and a journalist falling in love in Rome. It's beautifully set and everything. All right, so those are the classics. Then how about Titanic? You've seen that, I know.
Yes, several times. I mean, the history of Titanic.
It's a tearjerker, yes. And The Notebook, that's
the
another
notebook
tearjerker.
Is very much a tearjerker. My dad went through dementia, and it just even brings it more home. You know?
It is hard, but the love that outlasts.
That's
when they get to know each other, they're in love again, and every day they wake up to a fresh start. How about An Affair to Remember? I don't think you've ever seen that.
I have not, no. Yeah.
That is a cruise ship romance with Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr, inspiring Sleepless in Seattle.
Yes. Okay. I love Sleepless in Seattle.
We'll meet at the top of the Empire State Building a year from today, and he can't get there. And, remember when I took you to the Empire State Building?
Yes. It was romantic, by the way.
It was romantic. It was fun. We were newly married. But one thing I did learn that I did not understand, because I would traipse all over New York City. I had to walk everywhere, and you'd hop on the subway, you'd take cabs, I did everything possible. But I learned that cute shoes are not generally comfortable.
No. No, you don't want to be wearing high heels traipsing around all of that, too.
But you were.
Even with young feet.
And you were, like, wanting to take your shoes off the top of the Empire State Building.
Yes.
I remember that. All right. We got to get the pirate theme in here. One of my favorites, The Princess Bride and the Dread Pirate Roberts. As you wish. Great romance story. You had some others that you loved.
Well, at least one. That would be Parent Trap. I'm kind of down the Parent Trap path because that is so romantic to me.
Oh, Parent Trap, where they split the girls. And
the story's crazy. Who's going to do that? But It was romantic, nonetheless. Yeah,
you go off to London, and I go off to California and make my fortune. But it was set in Carmel, California.
It was.
The original one, at least.
And you used to live there.
And I did live there. But that Parent Trap is a great... There are a lot of great romantic movies, and they're feel-good movies. Some of them are tearjerkers. Some of them are timeless classics. But romance is a part of who we are.
Yeah.
And it's true whether you're a Christian or not a Christian.
And even if you don't have a significant other, even the fun of just a Galentine's or, just your friends, that's powerful, powerful stuff.
Celebrating that we care for another human being is a good thing.
Absolutely.
And it's a Christian thing. And everybody's got their stories, their romantic periods and things. And sometimes it's good Valentine's Day. And sometimes I've had some sad, sad Valentine's days.
Me too.
All before I met you, of course. All right. So we've learned a lot about Valentine's Day. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Christian perspective, because we have a group of Christians who say you should not celebrate this particular day. But does that mean you shouldn't celebrate romance or love or friendship? Because there are a lot of different types of love. There's Eros, of course, but there's agape and filio.
Yeah.
And yes. All right, we're going to be talking about Valentine's Day from a Christian perspective. I'm here with my wife, Marnie. We've shared a lot of memories over the decades that we've been together. And we're going to cover a little bit more from God's perspective when we come back after this break.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by my Valentine, Marnie, the love of my life, wife of nearly three decades we've been together, half my life and more than half yours because you're so young. But what have we learned about Valentine's Day from a Christian perspective? What do you think?
Honestly, if there is a Valentine's Day from a Christian perspective, it's going to be for me that God sent his son as the best Valentine's gift I could ever have.
It is absolutely a love
and the
story.
Bride.
The bride of Christ,
yes.
is the wife of the husband,
yep.
Right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So here's some points. God invented romance, and he has romanced us.
Yes.
We love him because he first loved us.
That's right.
The kindness of God leads us to repentance. It's God's love that draws us unto him. So God invented romance, but it has an important context. Romance is not to be used willy-nilly. It is for a husband and wife in the context of marriage.
Yes.
Okay. Second point.
Good to celebrate and remember that love. I mean, God likes memorials, memories. He likes to celebrate.
Feasting, celebrations.
Feasting, absolutely.
So St. Valentine, if he was a Christian saint, he realized that there was a false doctrine in the church that people should not marry. And, you know, but that's not what the Bible says. Some people are not meant to be married.
Right.
And God's called them to that. And they can celebrate their love with Christ. But others are meant to be married, and God's called us to that. And our, you know, the offspring, the fruit of those marriages is phenomenal. It's the great people. So we need to celebrate and remember. I think we also learned that like every holiday, Valentine's Day can be overly commercialized.
Right. Just spending too much money. And really it's about the heart and actual love versus running down the street to get a rose just to get a rose.
It's the thought that counts
right.
A lot of times. And you can go out and overspend on Valentine's Day and then put yourself in great financial challenge or difficulty. And it's like, why do we do that?
Don't do that. Go pick flowers out of the park. Or you know.
Yeah, well, don't,
I mean,
don't be
not
stealing
out of the park,
flowers.
Don't steal flowers. Yes.
All right. And we don't want to celebrate demonic traditions in Valentine's Day. And there are some things that are in there. But there's a role for the church. And the church
right.
It should be talking love. All right. There are some Bible verses on romance emphasizing selfless, patient, and enduring love, defining it through actions like kindness, trust, and protection with key passages. So here's one. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's a good one.
I love that one.
And how about 1 John 4:16? Can you
read it? So God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. How crazy is that? That's amazing.
If you want to show who God is, love someone else.
Yes.
That's how you demonstrate.
Sacrificially.
Sacrificially, not selfishly.
Right.
All right, and 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done in love. It should be Valentine's Day every day.
Absolutely.
We should be loving people as if it's special and remembering every single day.
Even if it's a smile or can I help you to the car? Whatever you can do.
That all that you do be done in love. All right, here's some verses for spouses and couples. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Here's Proverbs 5:18-19, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, be intoxicated always in her love. If there's ever a Valentine's verse, that's it. Be intoxicated, be drunk on her love, and show that to her too. And of course, Song of Solomon, 7:6, how beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delight. So there's a romance in Scripture.
Absolutely.
But it's designed for
marriage.
Exactly. All right, love and unity, verses on God's love and our foundations. They're all in here. All right, it's been fun. It's fun to stay connected and to reconnect on Valentine's Day, but we
yes.
need to make every day Valentine's Day, don't we?
Every single day.
Speaking of staying connected, you can stay with us connected and follow us on X at Pirate Money X to get the latest information and topics that we talk about on Pirate Money Radio. You can learn more about our podcasts and videos by visiting piratemoneyradio.com or following us at Apple or Spotify in their podcasts. It's so glad to have you with me, Marnie. It's so fun to celebrate.
Thank you. I love being here.
AFR listeners, stay tuned after the break for a bonus segment from our whole team to your family. Have a happy Valentine's Day. Celebrate it in the love of Christ with the people that mean most to you. God bless you. Happy Valentine's Day. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, this is our bonus section for AFR only. Marnie, you're with me. I'm trying to keep up the romantic surprises.
And you do well. So I love it. I'm on my toes all the time.
Do you remember what we agreed when we first got married?
We would never lie to each other, except for one thing.
What's the one thing?
We can lie for the cause of romantic surprise.
Yeah, and it's verifiable. You can go back and see, you lied to me about that. Yeah, I lied to you because I wanted to surprise you with a trip to some place,
right,
or something special.
Restaurant. Or,
yes. Yeah. All right, so I don't like to lie.
Well, you don't do very well with it, even in romantic surprise. You smirk, you give it away.
I know, and you catch me every time. I try and surprise you. And so I remember when we were having a baby, we had the first one, and we both knew it was going to be a girl.
Right.
But the second one, you're like, I want to be surprised.
I wanted to be surprised. You did not. So the doctor told you what we were having, and I didn't want to know. So he didn't tell me.
So I had a hard time with that. I had to find some way.
You were smirking.
I was smirked the whole time, so I would say to you, it's a boy, it's a girl. I mean a boy, I mean a girl.
Yes.
And I had to just, because I knew you'd guess it or figure it out. I went shopping, I bought clothing in both blue and pink
and purple
and green, yes, just so we would have different colors so you wouldn't get thrown off.
Yeah, you kept me on my toes on that one. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, so I had to do that because it's the only way I could game out, because you can read me like a book. You know when I'm telling the truth and you know when I'm lying. It's like, yes, Santa Claus or something here. Really, lying is a sin, right? And we taught our kids there are no exceptions. You never lie under any circumstances.
And right. Okay, so one of the girls lied to me on something really, and I said, just wait till your dad gets home because we're going to talk about this because you do not lie for any reason. And she looked at me, and she was little, and she goes, Mom, what about Rahab and the spies? And I was like, okay, are you hiding spies today?
But she did find the exception to the rule.
She did in 2 seconds.
And God congratulated Rahab for what Rahab had done. But again, it fits that context. It is, lying is not good. Bearing false witness is against the scripture. But there are times.
There are times.
Very rare circumstances.
Well, even in history, our current history proves that. There are times when you need to actually
hide
someone or whatever.
Yes, God judges our hearts.
Yes.
We judge by the outward appearance and the actions. God judges by the hearts. And I'm not suggesting, don't go home and say, hey, Kevin and Marnie said it's okay to lie, because we're not saying that unless you've prearranged it so that you could celebrate. Like, I've surprised you a couple of times on your birthday with a surprise party.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. I hope you've enjoyed our time together.
I have. It's been awesome going down the reminiscing.
The 30 years plus the hour we've had here on Pirate Money Radio, I'm in the middle of the 4-month gauntlet of gift giving, December, January, February, March. There's something every month for me to give you a gift. Then we get to tax day in April before family birthdays start up again. All right, I guess Uncle Sam, I'm paying him in April, so it's family. All right, you have questions, prayer needs, comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. It's Kevin Freeman, joined by Marnie Freeman for Pirate Money Radio.